Okay. Did the cat open it?
I don't
know. Did a ghost open it? Okay, so welcome to the podcast.
Hey.
Hey, I'm here with Cameron. And Cameron, tell them about yourself.
Hi, my name's Cameron. I talk at people's faces, both professionally and privately, and hopefully professionally always. But never happened because, you know, comedy and poetry are fickle industries with no guarantee of success.
Right? None whatsoever.
Oh my gosh, no. And I could, you know, I could say something terrible one day that was not in the zeitgeist, and then all of a sudden everybody hears about it on Twitter, and then
right.
And that's then my whole ass.
And your whole, it's your whole ass. Just
my whole butt, my whole soul gone. Yeah. No monies. My lucrative TV deal gone forever. My right. Netflix series shattered just for.
Shattered.
Yeah.
Dreams. Such. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
So we don't know what we're doing. Or maybe Cameron does.
What are you up to? We haven't actually had a conversation in, I think, ever.
I know.
Like, we, like, see each other at, like, all the events. We see each other at all the things.
Yeah.
Like, and for, like, a while, like, I did the horrible, like, bad feminist thing of being like, oh, that's Matt Rainey's girlfriend. And I felt real bad about it.
I mean, I was, to be fair, Matt Rainey's girlfriend for a very long time because people, like, we're like, oh, I know you because I know this person already. And yeah. It's like, yeah, that's fine. It's like, I don't know, I have so many friends that are like that. It's like, oh, you're... Yeah. I literally have one friend because Jesse Kyle's boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know his name.
I don't know his name either. And I recommended headphones to him at a comedy show.
He's just boyfriend.
And that's, we shouldn't refer to people relationally. People have their own lives. We should learn, we should endeavor to learn people's names.
We really should.
And so, well, I'm glad I learned your name. I'm glad that I'm now on your, the inaugural episode of your podcast.
This is the very first episode.
The very first. The podcast. Yay.
Sorry for all the jingling. I live with my mother.
Ooh.
And have no privacy. So.
It's okay. We've all been there. Those are still there.
Right? In and out of the house, which is great. I'm glad that I live here because we have 5 cats and it's hilarious. So.
This is like Gray Gardens in Oklahoma. So
yeah.
It'd be just like Rose Rocks.
Yeah. Yeah. My sister does often refer to us as the Edies, which is horrifying, but...
Also, thank you for the tea.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate it. It's really good.
Shout out to tea companies everywhere.
Except for the British one that, you know, started the... Well, not started, but benefited from the transatlantic slave trade.
Oh, yeah, that was bad.
Yeah.
That's why we threw a bunch of them in.
No, it's not why we threw a bunch in the harbor.
No.
That was one of the taxes. We didn't give a shit about black people back then.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. It's okay.
What tea company was it?
I think it was like the New India or like something. The East India Trading Company, or East India Tea Company.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, like they controlled all tea and trade tariffs like through like the Atlantic. So like you had to like get your tea from that. And, of course, like, they're in a world where, like, stream water has, like, all sorts of toxic stuff in there. Like, you boil tea and it's great and tastes good and it's not, like, awful.
Right.
So, it was, like, Coke except, like, actually good.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
So, if you wanted to, like, drink clean anything, you had to go through them.
Like, mead.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you could be an alcoholic in, like, the... In the 1700s or whatever it was. That's basically how the Constitution got written.
I'm so bad at history. Well, no, that's not true. I like, I actually...
Just listen to Hamilton. That's what I do.
Well, here's the funny thing. When I was in high school, I had to take a test called the History of the Americas because I was in an IB school. And when I went, I studied all of these things mm-hmm. for weeks, and then all of a sudden when I went to the test, I started taking the test, and it was all about the Founding Fathers. Mm. And the only reason that I knew all of the names of the framers was because of the musical 1776.
There we go, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
No, like, I'm certain there's going to be, like, some, not even that there is going to be, there already has been some student who's like, I have no idea what happened in any part of the American Revolution.
Right.
Or, like, any part of the Constitutional Convention. But I do remember that we may not live to see our glory, but we can have a round tonight. I don't know the rest of the song.
I don't know.
I feel bad. My future roommate knows that, like, all by heart.
I've only listened to Hamilton all the way through once, and it was when I was very, 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 high.
yeah. So.
So I remember listening to it, and then we listened to it again 4 times on accident. So we just sat there.
Wait, you listened to Hamilton 4 times?
Maybe it was 3 times.
Because that's a 3-hour.
Okay, it at least spell. Played through twice then. Okay. Like, I don't know. We also watched
the Billy Zane movie,
and it was bad. Oh, but yeah, like.
No, like, I used to listen to Hamilton when I was running back from, like, Southern Illinois.
Yeah.
Which is, like, a 10-hour drive, and that would be, like, the last stretch from, like, Joplin to Oklahoma City.
Yeah. No, it was, yeah. We listened to it all the way twice through then. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, wow. Yeah, that's how high I was. There was, I just did not even.
It happens.
Didn't even notice until, like, halfway through the second time we listened to the Schuyler Sisters song, and I was like,
this, I remember that one.
Is this, like, supposed to be, like, a TLC kind of thing? Like, why don't the Schuyler Sisters get to rap as awesome as all of the dudes do? And then I got mad, but then Lin-Manuel Miranda was like, oh, I'm open to casting women as the men parts. And I was like, all right, Lin-Manuel Miranda, do it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it right now. Just do it.
And he does, they do get to rap a little bit, but not like nearly as much.
Yeah, that's like, what I'm
saying. And for my money, Satisfied is the best song of that entire musical.
Yeah.
Like, for real. Like,
yeah. Yeah. So here's this cake.
All right.
So
what are we doing with the cake?
So I've baked this cake. And so I would like, I don't know, I would like for you to describe this cake to me as best as you can.
This seems oddly sexual.
I
don't know. Maybe it's because I'm a sex ed teacher.
Maybe.
And I'm aware of far too many, not far too many, I'm not going to slut shame anybody or like kink shame anybody. I'm aware of a large number of various fetishes.
Right.
And like, I'm certain that there's one about, like, having baked goods described to you.
I think that, is it smushing or smoshing or whatever?
Smushing,
Yeah, wherever you sit in cake, that's the thing.
This is much better than crush videos.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to go into those.
No.
Hide your kitties.
But so, that's, yeah.
But yeah, okay, I guess I'll describe this cake to you. I got here a little early, so I got to see kind of the behind the scenes.
Right.
Because the cake wasn't, like done up yet. But, like, so I guess I'll go through the layers. I know that it's a chocolate, gluten-free cake. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to the gluten-freeness. So I actually never had, like, a gluten-free cake before. So this will be my first, like, gluten-free cake experience.
Nice.
It is, there's pink frosting on top that was, looks like it was done with some kind of device, maybe like a bag or some sort. I think that there is another layer of like white icing underneath it, that's completely covered by the pink icing, which raises concerns as to why we need an undercoat of icing. I guess we just wanted more icing. It is about, it's about the size of a personal pan pizza if you ever did AR points as a kid. Like, just like a little smaller thing. But it looks delectable.
Good. I will note that it was too hot as I was icing it, and so there are bits of it that have melted.
Oh.
On the sides here.
You got a melty cake. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a weird, like, sort of like.
Drooping.
It's like the clocks, like a Salvador Dali clock.
Yeah.
It's like a cake.
Yeah.
Like part of it's melted, but part of it's not, and you can kind of tell what's going on.
Right.
You see what it would look like if it were perfect, but you like the imperfections.
Right. So now let's taste this cake.
Let's taste this cake. Let's taste this cake.
Let's taste this cake. This is far too much frosting on the side. I think I'm going to go for a little middle piece here.
I'm gonna try the side piece. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cake cheers.
Oh, still warm.
Mmm. That is good cake. Or is it?
Or is it? Who knows? You can't see it.
Yeah. You don't know if we're enjoying a delicious cake.
What if this cake isn't real?
What if we just described a cake on the internet?
Right.
And
I don't know.
Are now currently eating, I don't know. You have dietary restrictions, so I don't know what would be feasibly believable.
We could eat a pie.
We could be eating a pie.
We could be eating a cheesecake.
A cheesecake? Well, I'm lactose intolerant, so.
Right.
We could be eating a cheesecake, and Cameron could be going to the bathroom after this.
Right, or I could have made you a vegan cheesecake.
Mmm.
Yeah.
Maybe that next sounds time. Like a, that sounds like a lie to me. A vegan cheesecake.
Yeah. It is kind of a lie.
So
here's this cake.
So this cake is good.
Mm-hmm.
I like this cake. It's good cake. I think the main reason why you convinced me to come to this podcast was because you told me there was gonna be cake.
Oh yeah.
And you asked, but it was weirded out at first. You asked me right after Tina Fey did like her like cake
the
thing,
sheet caking thing,
her sheet cake,
which was terrible.
Yeah, but I was like, are you asking me to do white feminism with you? Because right. I'm not into that.
No. But for the record, I had this idea before Tina Fey did that video.
Tina Fey, culture vulture, if there ever was one.
I do guiltily love her, though. Just because I don't think that she knows that she's so white feminism-y. But I don't know. Mm. I'm kind of white feminism-y sometimes, like, on accident. I think it's just, like, part of being white and a feminist, like, unfortunately, like...
The natural condition of being a white feminist is being...
A white feminist.
Yeah, I guess so.
That, like, you don't even know that you're doing it, and then people are like, hey, that's shitty, and you're like, oh, sorry, oh, shit.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get that.
Yeah.
Like... It's the same sort of thing with being a dude who tries to embody the tenets of feminism. I have weird times, like, saying, like, I, as a man, am a feminist. Not because of, like, fragile, masculine bullshit. It's more like, I feel like that's got to be, like, something people say about you or you earn from people who are actually doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, like, if, like, all sorts of people are like, I care about people's rights. And they're just like... Really? Do you want to go, like, do, like, letter writing campaigns or anything, like, really simple? No!
I was like, oh, no.
I'm going to go watch...
I'm going to go tweet about it.
I'm going to tweet about it, or I'm going to watch season 2 of Jessica Jones, because that's almost like helping.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I'm going to go consume more media. That's a construct to keep us... From actually doing anything.
I'm gonna listen to a podcast.
About people listening to a cake.
Exactly. You should keep listening to this podcast, though. Mm-hmm. It's actually really great. Well,
yeah.
We'll get off the identity politics eventually. So.
Who knows? I don't know.
Or maybe not. I don't know. Fuck you. Identity politics is your life.
I know.
Get on with it.
Right. Like, just like, I don't know. People. Because, like. When I heard the word intersectional feminism, like, somebody was like, and this is intersectional feminism. I was like, oh, isn't that just feminism? Like, that's just, like, what it should be. It's just, like, people who call themselves women deserve to get paid and not, like, raped for no reason. Like, that's really my entire, like, tenets of feminism is, like, hey, I would like to be treated like a human being. Like, ever. In my life.
Exactly. Right? And it sounds, I think, like, the only thing is, when we reduce it down to that, and now I'm mansplaining feminism, that's so weird.
Yeah.
I just want to reduce it down to that, though, like, people can find easy cop-ups, like, you just want to get paid? Fine. There's women CEOs, Oprah exists, equality. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, like, it's not the same thing for people on our level. So.
I know. I was thinking about
especially,
that.
Especially, like, women of color and, like, queer women of color and
all. Oh my god, very specifically. Like, yeah, it's just terrible. And I was looking at, oh gosh, what was I going to say? I was thinking about some stuff yesterday because I recently got mad at my sweet dear friend who is teaching yoga in a place that is not here and is doing a a workshop retreat thing, like a 3-day retreat thing, and it was like his face was all over it, and like he is a white man who teaches yoga, but he goes by a Sanskrit name and has dreads.
Oh, white dude with dreads.
Right, and like I was like, dreads. Like I don't want to, like, rag on this dude because I already, like, messaged him and was like, ah! And he was like, I teach recovering alcoholics for free. And I was like, okay, that's great. Like, I am just letting you know that your Instagram really does not, like, portray someone who actually cares about anyone other than themselves. Like,
Instagram sounds like, if I were to look at it, I would just be like, this dude did mushrooms once at Coachella and found his version of God.
Right. I'm like, but yeah, and like, but then, like, how, okay, if I feel gross about him doing that, how do I not feel gross about Ram Dass? You know? Like, do you know who Ram Dass is?
No.
Oh my god. Okay, so Ram Dass is, his name was Richard Alpert, and he and Timothy Leary in the 70s did the LSD trials at Stanford, and now Ram Dass lives in Maui and teaches about consciousness to people on the internet. Yeah. And it's like, is it okay for Ram Dass, because he did it before it was racist? Like,
honestly, it's a good, it's okay for him. It's just like, I think we have a much more fuller idea of, like, the subversive ways in which, like, race and racism work.
Right.
Like, now that we're kind of, like, out of the, people are burning down black churches and killing people sort of section. So we actually have, like, a real nuanced conversation about, like, how these things work.
Right.
And, of course, when you get down to the nitty-gritty, like, sort of, like, all-encompassing system, people are like, ah, everything I saw is racist. All my heroes are monsters. And, I don't know, maybe I personally believe that, like, we should have the ability to recognize, like, how people build upon things, but still be able to criticize, like, the nature of the dead things.
Right.
Like, still, I don't know. And that gets into, like, a lot of murky territory, because, like, especially with, like, all the things coming out because of the Me Too movement, like, you have, like, all these people who were, like, super fundamental and influencing tons of different artists, and you're still, like, have, like, people say that their work has value. Mm-hmm. But how do we reconcile that with them being, like, sexual assaulters and rapists?
Scientologists.
And Scientologists.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, how do we, and I don't have a quick, easy question for that. I think.
I don't either.
I think it's just, one, on an individual basis, and two, like, I think you just have to have the commitment to say, like, hey, if you're a monster, you don't get to, like, have a public platform.
Right.
Or you get to be president.
Right. Right.
One or the other.
Like, Oh my god, at work today, this lady came up and was like, looking at, we have like an entire little magnet tray mm-hmm. of those little Unemployed Philosophers Guild puppets. And we just got in today, like 6 Ruth Bader Ginsburgs.
Mm.
And I love Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Notorious RBG.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so this lady comes up and was like, oh, that's that Ruth, I'm doing the accent because this is the only, my cat is literally scratching on the window from outside.
Are there poltergeists in your house?
No, that's how he tells me he wants to come in. Hang on. Right. I'm leaving this in.
There's, cat has officially walked away to get her cat, who is scratching on the outside. With another cat in this house.
Now there are 6 cats in this house because I count as one. Anyway, but so this lady, I feel like I have to do the voice because, like, that's just the voice, like. Because this is only an opinion expressed to me by people who have this accent. And, like, that doesn't necessarily mean that everyone who has this accent, like, is that way. But, like, she, like, was like, that, well, that's that Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Or Gainsburg. And I'm like, ah! She's like, man, that old coot should retire. If you can't even stay awake during your job, she's falling asleep all the time, and she just needs to retire. And I was like, okay. And then she was, like, looking at the rest of them, and she was, like, she had, like, picked up an Eleanor Roosevelt one, and then she was, like, Eleanor Roosevelt, that's okay. And I was, like, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then she picked up a, Obama one, and she was, like, man, y'all should have a President Trump. You're in Oklahoma. And I was, like, oh. Okay.
Thanks for telling me how to run my fucking store.
Right. And, like, you know, like, what I want to, I don't know. I feel obligated in a retail environment to, like, if you come into a store, you should be able to look around that store and, like, make decisions about whether or not you want to spend money in that store without the employees of that store being like, oh, we don't serve your kind, blah. Because, like,
that's a weird way of putting it, but okay.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Because, like, that's a thing. Because, like, the Hobby Lobby thing and the cake lady thing, speaking of cakes, like, have made it a legal precedent that you can discriminate against people because of religious whatever, whatever. And I feel a very large burden be like working in a liberal environment to be positive and kind to those people who have terrible opinions and like let them have a pleasant shopping experience.
I don't get that same sort of thing. I don't know. And maybe it's, I don't know. I guess it's because I don't work in retail that I can kind of have a little bit more freedom.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But it's just like, they're not doing the work to make that positive experience for you, right?
Right.
Like, if you were to go into, like, Confederates R Us, and just, like, we're, like, looking around, and like, oh, wow, this is horrifying. Then they'd be like, well, we're sorry, I guess, maybe.
They would not even say that.
Well, maybe we'll get a little bit of a different inventory here at Confederates R Us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll stop selling AR-15 to 18-year-olds or...
Right.
Well, I don't know. And that's... I guess. I don't know. That's a weird...
Well, and that's the thing that bothers me about it, is that, like, I'm over here trying to be a nice person to people, you know? And then, literally, the people that I'm trying to be a nice person to are people who... Not... If not actively, at least passively... would like to see homogenized white society exactly as it was in the 50s return to the popular zeitgeist. And, like, it wasn't until Trump became president that some of those people were like, oh, all right, like, I guess I can be loud and awful about this. But, like, even now still, there's some people who are, like, quiet about it. And, like, I don't know. I'm creeped out.
I'll tell you this. There's always been polite racist people who are just like, I just don't think that we should spend time with people who have darker skin.
Right.
And that's been a thing forever. So, like...
It's like the damn Get Out movie. Like, those people exist. I tell you that right now. Like, holy.
Believe me, I know.
Like,
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, those people are, like, the people who are supposed to be the not scary people. And it's like, well, people are just scary. Because humans are awful.
Mm. Yeah.
We're all terrible people. Like,
pretty much.
Like.
This is a fun podcast about cake, by the way.
Yeah. It's a really great cake. We're only like halfway through this cake, and I'm...
I can't possibly eat this whole thing.
I know.
Were you going to make this like a double-decker cake or something?
I was going to.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know.
Like, we wouldn't have even gotten like a quarter of the way through this thing.
No, I know. Matt Rainey is going to have a whole cake to himself, though, so that's pretty exciting. But
Matt Rainey's going to love a cake to himself.
I know. He is. Yeah. He's going to enjoy that a lot. Matt Rainey, if you're listening to this right now, I hope you enjoyed that cake that you ate in the past.
Hope you like that past cake.
Hope you love that past cake, Matt Rainey. It's real good.
Let's move on to lighter subjects. Like, we can, like, get bombed. I think that's the condition of, like...
Ooh, nihilism. Yeah.
That's the condition of, like, living in 2018 America. It's just like... If you're relatively conscious or care, things are bad.
Right. But really, though, like, and like, I don't know, that's like, oh. I don't know, let's just talk about white people dreads for a while.
White dudes with dreads!
Like.
I am both fascinated by the... No, I don't want to say the gall, but, like, and this is something that, I've come to understand more as I've just, like, had to interact with more white people. White people feel like they can do anything. It blows my, like, literally feel like they can, like, anything and everything is available to them. Like, growing up, I knew my ceiling was, I knew exactly where my ceiling was. Like, I saw it happen, like, if I do really, 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 really good, I can become, like, a representative of a fairly progressive state.
Right.
That was the ceiling. And then, like, Barack Obama gets elected president, ceiling's a little bit higher, but then I know that if I were to become president, white people are going to yell at me for 8 years.
Right.
Exactly.
And tell you that you're literally Satan. Like
a closet time-traveling Muslim terrorist who was born in Kenya and probably... is the Antichrist.
Right.
So that was the ceiling growing up.
Right.
I've come to learn that white people never had that ceiling. And it's something I really had to like, it's something I kind of knew intellectually growing up, like, because like, I had a very particular frame, like, it wasn't until I was, I want to say, 8 or 9 that I met a white person who was below, like, the, like, working class income rate. For me, like, growing up, I assumed all white people were rich. That was my frame for the world. Like, I saw every white person I knew had an amount of wealth that I would never have access to, or at the very least, an amount of wealth that I would have to work very hard to achieve. And so that was my frame. And then I met, like, poor working class white people. And it's like, oh, wait, that's not the truth. And so I got to reframe, like, rejudge that frame. And so as you sort of grow and get to more understanding of the multiplicity of things, you realize that, like, even poor white people are told that they can do anything in the world versus, like, anyone else. It's just so, like, they're, like, their frame is very small. They know like, exactly where they're going to go. They know exactly where they're exactly wow, what they know what streets they're going to see for the rest of their life by the time they're 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And
that's horrifying.
That's horrifying. Yeah. To know your entire life's potential by the time you're 12.
Yeah.
And that's something that just like kind of like seeps into your brain after a while.
Yeah.
Luckily, I grew up in, my parents had the wherewithal to send me to a predominantly white school where I was bullied and tormented ruthlessly. But I was smarter than all of them, so I learned a lot of things.
That's good.
So.
Oh my god.
But back on the idea of white dudes with dreads.
Yeah.
White dudes with dreads are like the epitome of that feeling to me. Like,
okay.
Literally, like. Like, I see a thing that people are doing. Why can't I do that?
Right.
And then they're just like, hey, that's a whole cultural context, and they're just doing this because it makes you think you look cool.
Right.
And it really just makes your hair look like shit.
Right.
And so you're just like, white dudes with dreads, just do something different. You can, like, develop your own aesthetic. Make your own shit happen.
Yeah.
And you'll feel better, I promise.
I know. I don't know. Like,
work on developing non-toxic whiteness.
I feel very, very strange about it because, like, I don't know. Like, I do yoga, and it's like, in that community, there is like a large amount of like, use of like phrases that are from India, and like the justification that I've heard from it from like people who do yoga and stuff is like, oh, like Shiva had dreads, so like I should also have dreads because I am trying to be more.
Motherfucker, how you know that shit?
Right. Well, okay. So that's like that's the thing is that like the. Shiva like put his like dreads into the earth, and like that's how the river Ganges happened or whatever. Like that's like part of the Hindu lore as I've come to understand it. And so like right, and so like I take that with a full grain of salt because like if I don't know, I feel like if I participate in that, then I'm like putting on a costume and it's not genuine. Like, and it's like I'm just trying to, like, figure out how to study these things and, like, practice these things. But, like, I would never say that I am a Hindu or that I am Buddhist or that, like, I even, like, vaguely know anything about that, you know? It's like, I'm a Catholic because that's what I was born into. Mm-hmm. And that's the only thing that I know that I can, like, claim as mine is, like, the horror that is Catholicism. It's like...
Yeah.
Like, that's what I get. Like...
I don't know. I was raised Baptist, so there's a lot of...
Oh, this. Yeah.
I have just a lot of shame and guilt about becoming a human.
Oh, yeah. No, that's definitely in Catholicism as well. Like, 90% of Catholicism is... Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? You should stop doing that. Mm. I don't care what it is. You go talk to a priest.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
That's terrible. But, like, so, like, because of that, I, like, look at people who, like, do... Who are white, who, like, wear, like, chic robes or dreads or...
White dudes and dashikis, like, are, like, my least favorite thing in the world.
Yeah, like...
Like, white people in general and dashikis are just, like... It's, like, uber-colonizer.
You know.
It's, like...
It's really...
It's, like, you stole people, then you stole clothes. Come on, dog.
Can I tell you something that I'm secret shame about? Is that my family has an affinity for caftans. And I don't know how to tell them that it's racist.
Just tell them that, sit them down one day in, like, the foyer or the living room or, like, outside.
Right.
Set up a projector and say, okay, here's the whole lesson. Right. Go about your day after this, if you please. Mm-hmm. Just know that you can't unknow this.
This is not yours. But yeah, like, that's a thing. I don't know. And how do you tell a... I'm not going to say ignorant, just, like, because, you know, there... Some of them are obscenely intelligent people that I've met who, like, you know, like, just are unobservant of or have, like, a gap in their knowledge base.
Yeah, with that good privilege for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's just like, I don't have to think about this. Why? What? Huh?
Right.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. It's, well, and it's like, then, whenever people... Okay, because I have had the privilege of working on, like, a Native American play festival, and I learned things during that time that I had never learned in high school, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, racist, horrible shit that a bunch of white people did to a bunch of Native American people in the 1800s, or, like, 1600s to 1800s, and very specifically, like, 1839 or whatever is when the Dawes Rolls happened, and the Dawes Rolls are literally the worst systemic racism since, like, the Holocaust, like, you know, like, which was obviously before the Holocaust, so it was the worst at that time that we know of, like, and... I don't know.
Just a history of systemic racism, really. Yeah. Just
yeah, just like...
Here's a lot of systems in place that rely on us hurting people who are brown. Besides,
I don't know, slavery, I guess. Like, slavery. You know, that was pretty that horrible, was pretty, too.
I was trying to like, lead like, into that, but yeah. I didn't want to be like, hey, Kat, like, I think you're forgetting 400 years of literal systemic owning of people.
No, I hadn't forgotten that.
Or before that, whenever the Spaniards just wholesale slaughtered the entirety of, like, the Mayans and the Aztecs.
Oh, shit, that's right. That's a thing that happened.
Yeah.
Right, no, and see, that's a thing, is that, like, white people don't know that. Like, because our history
it's just like, we showed up and it was great!
Yeah, like,
and all the people built it for us!
Yeah!
And they gave us food, and we got to go and explore new things, and luckily no one was there, but when we did, they sailed up, and they showed up, and we shot them, and it was fun, and Russell Crowe played the dude in the movie.
And we took all the women and made babies.
Made babies, and it was totally consensual.
Quote, unquote. Yeah. So, you know, like...
America!
A top... yeah. So the Dawes Rolls, which are in a series of atrocities that white people have...
America, a series of atrocities.
America, a series of atrocities against brown people. A history. But, so, I didn't know that was a real thing that happened, like, because you just don't learn about it. Like, the only, we took Oklahoma history in high school for a semester, and all that we had to do was learn all of the tribes, which, I honestly still couldn't tell you one of the five civilized tribes, because I'm horrible and don't know those things, because we didn't really have to memorize them.
They don't care that you actually know. They just care that you give a shit about being here.
Like, and then, like, all that we had to learn was that, and, like, some of the names of some of the other Native American tribes, and, like, nothing in there was it like, oh, yeah, and then we made all of them register on a list, or we killed them, or we put them in jail, or we made them into slaves. Like, and it's like, I learned that, and I was just like, what? Like, this place that I've lived my whole life is a lie. What?
Yeah, that's
It's horrifying.
And just imagine being, like black or brown person, and just growing up with that knowledge.
Right.
And knowing that every white person around you doesn't know or doesn't give a shit.
No idea. Yeah. No, I know. Like, I can imagine now. Like,
yeah.
If you, I don't know, like, I was such a dumb little white feminist when I was, like, 15 to 16 years old. And I don't know, like, I am looking like the kids on TV now, who were from the Parkland school or Parkland school. Yeah. And I'm looking at those kids like, oh,
like they live in a world
that they know. I hope they know.
I think one of the great things about our socially mediated age, and there's good, bad, all sorts of in between, as far as that, is that like most students are the very least, most young people growing up right now are the very least exposed to some of this stuff, right? They have like a vehicle for which people can tell them about like, hey, mm-hmm. here's the racist history of this thing, mm-hmm. or if they don't know about something, they can look it up and like, oh, that's terrifying. Mm-hmm. As opposed to when we were growing up, we were just told that like, whatever the person at the front of the classroom said is what you need to know. Mm-hmm. Repeat that for your test and then go throughout your life. Mm-hmm. And that's, it wasn't until like most of us got to like university or like college or whatever that we actually kind of learned about the full breadth and scope of like yeah. some of these things. And that's if you were actually interested in it.
Right. And that's like if you actually seek that information or hang out with people who are not exactly like you. Mm-hmm. And like people get inside of their own little bubbles. Like,
we talk about like social media as a bubble, but like,
oh yeah,
like we forget that like there are people who literally before social media, before like the internet, did not know what happened two towns over. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. it's like, I didn't know that there was a murder in, Springfield. Mm-hmm. I say Springfield because there's like a Springfield in literally every state. I know there's a murder yes. in Springfield. I live in not Springfield.
Right, in Truesdale. I don't know. I'm sorry.
And not fake. And not fake Cityburg.
Not fake Cityburg.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. You learn a lot.
It's horrifying. Like, because I've been looking back at my life and being like, I just have these huge gaps in my knowledge of, like, what reality actually is. And it's like, that's a thing, too, is that, like, our reality is so malleable right now because mm-hmm. of social media and because of, like, the way that we communicate with each other. Like, we don't communicate with each other face-to-face like we're doing right now anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, we text each other all the time, or we FaceTime people, which, like, even FaceTiming is, like, it's, like, a step in a better direction, but, like...
Like, it's still, like a mediated thing. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. There's something definitely lost from, like, the tactile nature of being around people and mm-hmm. talking to them and having, like, feel their presence away from you.
Sharing a cake. I know. I don't know. I've eaten too much cake. We're 3/4 of the way through the cake, though.
We're not even. We're like a 2/3, perhaps.
Okay. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I don't know. It just makes me really sad. Because, like, I look at those people like that lady at work today. Like, she probably doesn't have a single black friend. Like, at all.
Or has, maybe not even black friend, but like just has like substantive contact with any person of color.
Yeah. Like, right. Yeah. Like, I bet that she has one lady at work that she talks to 3 times a week, you yeah. know? Like, and is like, somebody that
she... Who goes home and talks shit about her all the time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like...
It's probably my aunt.
Probably. No. Like...
If she works at IBM, it's my aunt. Sorry, nice. Auntie. I'm not going to tell you on the bus, good. But... You talk shit about all the white ladies who work with you.
Good.
And it's hilarious.
I love that. Like, I don't know. Because I feel on one hand, was very lucky to go to a school that had, like, I was in the minority of people of color, like, or, you know, like, that sounds like I'm saying that I'm a person of color. That was a weird way to phrase that. But, like, there were more people of color at my school than maybe like 50% white people, 50% black people.
It was better than the usual spread, probably.
Better than the usual spread in most
Oklahoma
schools.
That aren't in, like, North Tulsa.
Right. And so I, like, very fortunately had a lot of Vietnamese friends, and one of my friends is a wonderful woman whose family is from Thailand, and so she would, like, go back to Thailand in the summers and, like, come and tell us all about it, and, like, I have only been out of the country once, and it was last year, and I went to England, so it's, like, I'm very... Like, tell me all your stories. I wish to know of the world. Like, like, and so I'm lucky in that sense, in that, like, I have had more exposure to, like, the, like, vast and beautiful world of all of the culture that is not shitty, homogenized, white American culture. Like, and... But, like, I feel so bad for people who are, like, stuck in that bubble of shitty, white, homogenized bullshit culture that's, like, it's not, it's no fun. Like, there's nothing interesting about it. Like, it's just bland. And, like, I've started looking at posters of movies and, like, being like, oh, where's the person of color? There's not one.
Yeah.
Why?
We know why. We know why.
I know. And it's like, I don't know, like, Frances McDormand just did that thing about inclusion writers. And it's like, how dumb is it that white people have to make a point to, like, put people of color who are almost, like, are the majority of humans in America in things that we all watch? Like,
yeah, and the truth is, like, that's Hollywood, really, that's all stratified areas of American culture. The higher you get, or the more successful you get, the fewer people of color there are.
Yeah.
And so the people who are making these decisions about, like, who to include in casting, right, or who to include in, like, production, or who to include behind, like, the director's chair, like, they're picking people that they know, and the people that they know are overwhelmingly white, because they never had to interact with people of color for their entire lives.
Right.
So there's a whole... And people are like, why are we making this push? Like, make all of these social justice warriors want to put, like, women in everything, and want to put black people in everything. It's like, motherfucker, we exist in the world.
Right.
So maybe we would like to actually be a part of,
right,
the media the world consumes.
I was thinking about it today, actually. I don't know if I was just thinking about it because I knew you were going to be coming to my house and eating cake with me, but, like, I was, like, there is this idea that, like, if we do that, it's somehow encroaching on our ability to be successful and be functional. And that is why people are so outrageously offended by, like, the all-women Ghostbusters, or, like, having people of color in a Power Rangers movie, you know, like, and...
Wait, the Power Rangers movie?
Or not the Power...
Like, there were...
Because there was people of color.
There's racist years. Casting on Power Rangers, but yeah. Like, I'll rip Zach to death. Like,
right, no, yeah, no. Yeah. Like, he was a good boy.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, sorry, yeah. Like, what was his fighting style called? It was like hip hop food. Like, super, yeah, racist.
Something super racist.
But God, it was the, like, I mean, that's the thing, like, growing up as a black kid in, like, the 90s, like, that was, he was the coolest dude. He was our dude. We knew, like, black Rangers on the screen, he's gonna dance and kick some ass. Like,
yeah.
We didn't care that it was a little racist, we just went with it.
Yeah. And, like, now, sweet, sweet children have the whole of Black Panther to look forward to watching 20 million times until they...
I've seen it 5 times and I'm an adult.
I know. Like, I have only seen it once and I want to see it more times because I fell asleep for like 10 minutes of it and it was like the good fight scene.
You've officially and I was like, lost your white allyship.
No!
You gotta go see it. You gotta go watch it twice now.
Twice more. I know. I'm going to.
You gotta watch that. You gotta watch...
I did go see it opening weekend though. Yeah. So I gave
you fell asleep. Sorry.
I gave them go my watch money opening weekend.
Go watch A Wrinkle in Time.
When does that come right out?
It's already out.
Okay.
You didn't even know that.
Oh, I'm terrible.
Came out last week. You're going to have to wait now until the next, like...
At this point in time, the recording stopped functioning. I don't know why, but you're all just going to have to imagine the most amazing conversation that you've ever heard, because that's what we had. And it was lovely, and Cameron criticized my entire selection of DVDs, which are abysmal, to say the least.
Connect to your Wi-Fi network. You can reconnect to Wi-Fi from your Google Home app under Devices, then Setup.
My Google thinks she's being spoken to. I am horrified. I guess let's just... Oh, it, like, died and didn't record any of that beautiful, wonderful conversation that we just had.
Oh, wow.
Do you want to keep talking about it?
I don't
remember what we were, specifically saying, but it was so good.
We only talked for, like, an hour, so I don't know. Unless you want to, like, retry this sometime. I don't know if we'll get the same chemistry.
I know. Like, man. That's so depressing. Let's recount the tale of the conversation that we just had.
I think we've confirmed that you need to, like, just in general introduce yourself to more media by people of color.
Yeah.
That
I live in a box of... So basically, what we just had was a beautiful and eye-opening conversation, the likes of which you will never hear.
In the entire history of the world again.
Oh, in the entire history of the world again. And it was me opening my eyes to a wonderful and expansive world of media for me to consume. And that we all can do that. And we'll never hear that conversation ever again. And
it's just for you, though. You got that.
I got that. That was real good.
You can ingest that media now and spread the good word.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Cameron, I live in a bubble.
It's okay. Ugh.
Like, it's a bubble. Like, how?
You didn't ask to, like, get out of the bubble.
I did.
You actually fed yourself with, like, stuff that was like, this is part of the bubble.
Right. Well, like, but, like, that's the thing is that, like, I would look at things like Remember the Titans and be like, yeah!
Gross.
Yeah, right?
Real gross.
Right?
Real gross.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no. You gotta stop doing shit like
that. I know!
Yeah.
I know!
Did you, like, say the same thing when you saw The Blind Side?
No. That was post, like, me being like, oh, this is tiny bit racist. Like, that was post me being like, no, Sandra Bullock, what are you doing? Yeah. Like, oh, you a white savior, stop, please. Like,
yeah,
that's bad. The Remember the Titans is one of those movies for white people, though.
Like, I know that's what it was like. I was just watching, it was like, really, the only thing I cared about was the Temptation scene, and then I was like, I don't care about the rest of this movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, one, football, like, gives you concussions,
mm-hmm.
So stop it.
Yeah.
And two, like...
And so NCAA is a multi-billion dollar corporation that none of the players see a dime of.
And beyond that, just, like, the idea that, like, one sports movie is gonna... Sports are so exploitative.
I know.
The idea, like, sports are gonna, like, lead to, like, us saving... That's why I'm so proud of Colin Kaepernick, because he's like,
let's
like, we break our bodies trying to make you people happy.
Yeah.
Listen to what the fuck we gotta say.
It's like, yeah, I'm going to just do this. Like, you can just deal with it. And then people are like, oh, they're shitting on the flag. And it's like, no, you have, like, no. No.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that the principles that the flag represents, well, I don't know. America's messed up.
No, America's super messed up. Like, that's... I don't know.
Yeah, go watch Do the Right Thing.
Yeah, that's going to...
And that's the main thing that you need to get that out of the conversation that you all probably didn't hear.
Okay, what is your very favorite hip-hop album? That's hard... Okay, give me top five, because that's always a hard question.
That's a weird...
Okay.
Also, you just asked your boyfriend to give you your favorite hip-hop albums, which is a weird thing.
Okay.
I have
no filter.
I know.
I know.
I'm going to give you this because clearly you are in need.
Right. Like, badly.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I need help.
There's a complete difference between, like, my favorite hip-hop albums and the ones I think everyone should listen to.
Yeah, okay. I'm asking you your favorite ones. Like,
Kanye West's Late Registration was, like,
okay,
the first album that I fell in love with stylistically and production-wise.
Yeah.
Lupe Fiasco's Food and Liquor was also along with there.
Okay.
Because it was the first, like, really conscious hip-hop album that, like, made me come back to hip-hop after, like, kind of getting disillusioned with some of the sexism and other bullshit that, like, I didn't really vibe with.
Right.
Nas's Illmatic is by far, it's one of the best hip-hop albums ever made. Mm-hmm. Like, it's got three of the best hip-hop songs that have ever been made. You're asking for, like, people are going to hear this and, like, say, like, oh, Karen Lugger's a blah, blah, blah. No, I'll give it, like...
Wait, I don't have to... This is a whole other bit of it. I don't have to put this on anything. This is mostly just for me to know for later so that I can listen to all of them.
Okay. If I'm putting it out there, like... And I don't even know if this is my favorite hip-hop album, but I've listened to it on repeat for the past, like, 3 months. Mm-hmm. And it's still brilliant to me. And it's Open Mic Eagle. He played Norm Music Festival a while ago. Open Mic Eagle came out with an album, Brick Body Kids, Still Daydream.
Okay.
And it's all about, like, him and the kids that he knew that grew up in the Robert Taylor Homes in Chicago, which is, like, one of the largest projects complexes in America before it got bulldozed.
Mm-hmm.
And just talking about, like, his growing up there, what it was like, and all these sort of things, and all these things he had to learn, like, growing up there. And then realizing that, like, now that this, like, complex has been bulldozed down, like, all this history, all this knowledge, all these feelings, all these cultural experiences are gone forever. Right. It's like an entire community, an entire neighborhood just gone with no sort of acknowledgement of, like, what happened there in this culture that it bred. And that's... Like, just think about it. That's
like everything.
It's like everything. It's like, it's the story of America. And
right.
So, like, that album, like, continually, like, makes me, like, super, like, it makes me feel, like, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, here's someone celebrating what people consider, like, the worst part of America. Like, the projects. Like, mm-hmm. the government housing.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it breaks my heart because, like, that's what happens whenever you're a poor minority in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your culture is devalued and, like, your cultural spaces are even less valued.
Mm-hmm.
They're disposable.
Like, all of Tulsa in the 50s? Yeah.
Like, Tulsa in the 50s or, like, the east side of Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Or...
No, like...
Yeah.
Like, you talking to my mom earlier about the east side of Oklahoma City was, like, it, like, made me... I don't know, like...
I was just because like, I was just going to go with it.
I know, it was like such, because like when I, as a white person, think of the east side of Oklahoma City, I'm like, oh, that's the black part of town. Because.
That's where all black people have been relegated to, like, Oklahoma City
for the most part. Right, yeah. And so like, okay, so I just like. Forgive me if I'm being an asshole, like, because I love everyone, like, and I hope that that is, like, showing, like...
I'm not saying that you're an asshole, or that you're being, like, intentionally hurtful or anything, it's just, you don't know things.
Right.
And it's, you have limited exposure to them.
And yes, yeah. Right, and so, when, like... I don't know, like,
just
like
I'm assuming there are things that you know that I don't have access to or have not.
Right. Learned, so. Like, but that's I feel like you said, like, hey, maybe I should ask more black people, you know, or more people of color, like, what are the things that you like? But like, I feel super like I'm walking on eggshells, like that I don't wanna be offensive. And like that's such a white people problem, but like, you know, like I don't want to feel like I'm intruding,
yeah.
You know, or like I'm trying to come in and like steal that thing and that idea from you, like when I'm trying to appreciate it, you know, like
Well, if you've got the sort of anxiety about, like, reaching out to folks and saying, I don't know things, like, that's the beauty of the internet, right? Mm-hmm. You mean, like, what are, like, the most important pieces of black cinema? Mm-hmm. Or, like, some of the most important performances in black cinema? Or what are, like, the hip-hop albums that are the most important? Or, like, things like that, or have, like, had the most impact? You can mm-hmm. go out there and research that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And there
I've
are...
been, yeah, I've been trying to do that.
Yeah, and there are multiple blogs and multiple things that I can, like, tell you about. And I think, I don't know, like, I like talking about media. Like, media is not something that, like, I get, like, anxious about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're, like, if you were, like, coming at me, like, you know, I never heard about what happened with the Tulsa race riot. I was, like, you know, understand what's going on. And then, like, mm-hmm. that's a different story. Like, media is something that we can share and converse mm-hmm. about as culture. Whereas that's just, like, hey, let's talk about pain and suffering mm-hmm. for a couple of hours. And we mm-hmm. talk about, like, why it's you don't know that and why other people don't know that.
Yeah. No, like, I would.
But, like, that's
yeah.
the beauty of culture. Like, we could all, like, SZA's album is amazing because it does something radically different from what most R&B or hip-hop does. It celebrates insecurity and
yeah. black womanhood
in the way that this
does. She, happen. Like, she, like, talks to my soul. Like, yeah. I adore that woman. No. I literally just Googled black female artists, and that's, like, that, like, SZA's Control was the album that came up as, like, hey, you should listen to this. And yeah. I was like, okay.
Have you listened to Janelle Monáe?
Yes, I have. Yeah. I love Janelle Monáe. Yeah. I follow her on Instagram, and I like literally everything she posts. Like, oh, I love that woman. And, like, because her album, Metropolis, like, is...
That'd be Archandroid. She references Metropolis a lot.
Yeah. I conflate it with the movie Metropolis in my head because, like, I...
They do similar, like, world building.
I've, like, put it... I've put her in place of that. Like, I don't know, like it's... I don't know. I'm conflating them. But like, that album was the first time that I have seen a black artist, like, make something that I, in my terrible, like, white box of privilege, would have considered, like a high art kind of thing, you know? Isn't that awful?
Yeah.
Isn't that just, like, yeah. disgusting?
Feel that in your soul.
Real yeah, quick.
Why do you think that that's high art?
Right, because I, like, it was, like, it's reminiscent of Philip Glass a little bit, and, you know, like, all of that, like, the whole, like, wall of sound thing, and then, but it's also, like, I don't know, it's kind of genre-defying, and so that's, like, not, that's something that I hadn't seen any person of color do because of my terrible little white box of privilege, and, you know, like, and so, like, that is, like, that's awful. Like, yeah. That's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been, like, trying to, like, pull more things into my awareness so that I can know that, like, yes, there are these beautiful and wonderful things that have been existing and have existed that, like, are important outside of me. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, 'cause... It's like whenever I discovered SZA, I didn't post on Twitter about it because I didn't want to be like, hey, look at this cool thing I discovered. And yeah. then everybody be like, that's a cool thing already. You're dumb. You're white. Like, and, which, like,
yeah.
Cause that happens all the time.
No, like I listened to SZA's album for the first time, the first week of 2018. It had been, like, super popular. I'd heard about it. I knew about it. It was on everybody's radar. Everyone told me I needed to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't listen to it because I was super enthralled with a couple of different other albums.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that occupied a lot of my emotional space. And I wasn't really in the mood for, like, delving into, like, a new artist, which is a bullshit excuse for, like, saying that I just didn't listen to it.
Right.
But, like, that's... Like, even me, like, just, like, realizing, like, I just... not discovered, but like finally taking time to like appreciate this artist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I posted about it, but like my main thing was just like, yeah, no, you're right. I totally should have known about this beforehand.
No, but like
that speaks to my own ignorance about like the amount of.
Because then I posted on your thing that I didn't tell you about it because I, like, thought you probably already knew about it because you're black. And I was like, that's racist, Catherine.
Yeah.
Like, it's real racist. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Like, and that, I don't know. Like, I'm puking my hand. Disgusting. I don't know, because I don't know, like, I just want.
You want an easy answer, there's not going to be one.
There's not one. No. And, but, like, I don't know, like, this whole Afrofuturism movement, like, I listened to a podcast about it on This American Life, which I, like,
is that's that... That's the whitest way of learning about Afrofuturism, by the way.
It really is.
That's like, the only whiter way that you could have learned about that is if Justin Timberlake makes an Afrofuturist album next.
Right. Yeah. Which he probably will, because, like...
Hey, he's the man of the woods now.
I know, he'll not... Okay.
Are you listening to that album?
It's no. Terrible. Oh, God. I don't know.
It's a lot of really awful acoustic guitar.
Was into Justin Timberlake for about 5 minutes, and then I was like, oh, I'm okay.
Suit and Tie is great. Just go back to ripping off.
No, yeah, Suit and Tie is real good because that's one of the things that I started listening to Afropop more because I was listening to Sia and I was like, what are these sounds? And those sounds are sounds of Afropop. Like, yeah. The reason that Sia's music is so good is because it uses drum beats from Afropop.
Yeah.
And I was like, God damn, if I'm going to be listening to, like, if this is the music that, like, makes me happy and, like, makes me want to dance and makes me, like, get excited about, like, life, then, like, I want it to be coming from a person of color. Like, I just want to experience things not through a lens of, like, whitewashing. Like, I just want everyone else to want that, too. Mm. Like, I want our entire culture to be like, I want to see, like, more Rihanna. Like, more people like Rihanna coming in and just being like, here's this beautiful Barbadian music. You're welcome, America. Like, mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah. Cause like the only, I graduated high school in 2008 and, like the popular music was like Rihanna and Sean John, like, and Kanye, like, and, I know all of those songs because those are the 5 songs that played on the radio. Like, but I don't know anything else. Like, and that is a tragedy. Like, because America is only one tiny bit of the world, and there is so much more of the world.
Mm.
And what, like, white people classify as world music is everything else. And it's just like, that's dumb. Like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's terrible.
It's terrible.
I'm sorry I just brought you to my house and fed you cake. And I'm now talking about how bad I feel about being a racist. Like,
it's okay. White guilt expresses itself in there.
Oh my God.
I'm not gonna let you off the hook. I would say just, yeah.
No, hold me accountable. Like that.
Go listen to some good tip. There's lots of, like, and that's when you say, like, yeah, that hurt me whenever you're like, Archangel was the first, like, high concept album.
That's what I,
like, that's because, like, there's,
in my perception of, like music, you know? Like, because like, I'm cause sure, like, there's more.
The Letter Race is, like, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
No, I've listened to that one. Yeah,
which is, in my opinion, one of the most important albums
that's made. Beautiful. Yeah.
And then, like, there's beautiful, like, hip-hop that's, like, super interpersonal, like, like, everything Tupac did, like, has a lot of, like, really straight, interesting interpersonal stuff.
Right.
Even the stuff that's, like, gangster rap, like, heavy influence. It's, like, this is my personal narrative of, like, even, life in this situation in trauma where I like, have to like, deal with this. So.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that, like, when, because when did Archangel or Archandroid come out? That was in 2000.
Is it 2006 or 8, I believe?
Yeah. Oh, God. Is it a cat?
Oh, my God. Might as well be me.
I don't know. There's a bunch of pokey things over there. I'm sorry. Sorry. When I say that, like, my concept of what art is has changed drastically in the last, like, the last 10 years, actually. Because, my definition of art now, or my definition of art when I was in high school and, like, less aware of things because I was a very sheltered little white angel. Like, you know, like, ugh. was, like, oh, if it's in a gallery, like, or if it's, like, being played by, like, fancy people, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, oh, do fancy people like this? Oh, it must be art. Like,
yeah.
Has totally been blown out the window. Like, because, like, art is anything that is created through strong emotion. And so, or, and, like, even if that strong emotion is, like, I don't know, like, a country song being like, well, I love my truck, and I love my dog, you know, like, that's still a strong emotion, that's still, like, art to be appreciated.
Mm.
And it's, like, even if it's just a, like, even if it's a smaller audience is appreciating it, it's still art. And that, like, and so, that album at that time was the first thing that I had seen from a person of color that had broken out of the, like, commoner's blah, like, and, like, crossed into a land of, like, fancy people listen to this. So I was like, oh, this is art. And then I was like, I, like, look at that now, and I'm like, that is a very warped idea of reality. And it's, like, it's hard. It's difficult to express, and it's difficult to get out of. And, like, I don't know. I feel like I'm just repeating myself now.
Yeah.
I'm a, like, very ignorant white lady. And I love, like, because I keep referencing Black Panther because it's the most recent beautiful Afrofuturism thing that I've seen. And, like, when I did, in a very white way, discover Afrofuturism, I was like, oh, yeah! What? Like, I want that forever.
Yeah.
Because that, like, just makes, like, it makes my insides feel amazing, and it makes my head get all glowy, you know? like, just the best things that you can imagine to happen to anything ever. Like, that's what I think of when I think of Afrofuturism, because I'm just like, I want that. Like, I want that for everyone. Like, just so that we can all see it and appreciate it, because, like, since I have been on this, like Alice falling down the rabbit hole, like, path of trying to learn more about things that are outside of my personal bubble of existence, like, it's, I just, like, I'm, like, I wanna bring it to as many other people as I can, like, just be like, look at how good this is! Like, which, I don't know. Is that weird?
No. Like, I think if you discover something that you find aesthetically pleasing, like, your initial reaction is to want to share that with anybody. I think that's just kind of this general human feeling of, like, I like this. I want other people to like this thing that I like.
Yeah.
And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that inclination. I think what gets wrong is when it's just, like, we don't acknowledge where that art comes from.
Right.
Or we don't talk about, like, or we don't promote that kind of art just in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you're talking about, like, the difference between, like, high and low art. Like, mm-hmm. that's just, like, a distinction that just doesn't need to exist for any reason.
Right.
Like, art that moves you should be art that moves you.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, Afrofuturism as a concept only becomes, like, popular in, like, the... has only become popular in the American lexicon.
Since...
like, Black Panther. It took a $100 billion movie that was part of a, like, long-going franchise mm-hmm. before it becomes, like, super popular.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you have artists like Sun Ra and Outkast and Janelle Monáe and who else?
Oh, yeah, Outkast. I did love that.
Outkast. Also, Del the Funky Homo Sapien, Parliament Funkadelic,
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Not Glitch Mob. They're weird. Clipping mm-hmm. did a really great Afrofuturist album. Like, there's so many artists and art films that, like, employ Afrofuturism as a lens of looking at things. And ones that you can even argue are looking at them through the Afrofuturist lens. That it's just a weird thing to think that, like, we've been telling you that this is a dope idea for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what would the future look like if, you know, Black people were allowed to have an equal say in the creation of it?
Mm-hmm.
Or the race, at least their own say.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, hey,
yeah.
And, like, people know. And the best thing about it is, it's not just because, like, the thing I don't want people to get out of this, I hope people get out of this, isn't just that, like, it's happening because we should put Black people in more movies. We should put Black people in more movies. They deserve, we deserve to be as equally represented as anyone else in any sort of, like, genre of film or media or anything like that. But the aesthetic is beautiful.
Yes!
The thought process that goes into creating it is very unique. Like, I got to talk to Brian Stelfreez, who was the artist who drew the first 6 issues of the new run of the Black Panther comic books.
The Ta-Nehisi Coates one?
Yes.
Nice.
He's super cool and super dope.
Yeah.
And he talked to me about creating the world from, like, the ground up, like, mm-hmm. having, like, really kind of, like, thinking about it, like, differently. Because, like, the old sort of, like, Black Panther comics were very much, like, imperial king style, like, here's, like, what ancient Egypt looks like,
right.
except, like, with, you know, like, a little bit more, like, flower cars and stuff like that.
Right.
Like, and so, like, he was, like, talking about reimagining from the ground up and, like, mm-hmm. thinking, like, of an earth-centric society as opposed to, like, a techno-centric society.
Yeah.
Like, things that grow up out of the ground that create, like, really interesting things.
Yeah.
Because, like, their society is rooted in the land that they live on.
Right.
Because, like, vibranium is part of the land, so it has to, like, naturally come up through and, like, make it sing. It was a really fascinating conversation. I talked to him for, like, 30 minutes. It was dope. And so, like, he was, like, super interested in, like, someone, like, really wanted to, like, take time about, like, the way that he was talking about doing his art. Because he was doing it in a way that no one else is doing it.
Right.
Like, it's not like your classic cyberpunk aesthetic where someone's like, hey, let's just put, you know, like, these digital lines on it because that'll look cool.
Mm-hmm.
It has a very intentional aesthetic that references mm-hmm. very specific ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's the thing. I noticed that it... referenced a little bit of the Orishas and the Yoruba religion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a thing that I just recently became aware of.
Mm.
And that's one of the oldest religions on Earth.
Yeah.
And it's bonkers to me that I have just in the last year heard about it, period.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and we just did Crowns, which is a play about that a little bit. It's these 5 Southern Baptist Black church ladies And one young girl who has to come back and live with her grandmother because her brother was shot in Brooklyn. And so it's her going back to kind of, like, grieve the loss of her brother and then also, like, discover her roots and her heritage through her, like, old church ladies. And so then the church ladies are supposed to be symbolic of the Orishas as well. And it is beautiful. It's Crowns. I don't know if you've read it.
No, but I've heard about it.
It's really good. And so then I started doing a little bit more research into the Yoruba religion, and I was just like, this, like, of all of... It's the first, like, female-centric religion that I've looked into, besides, like, Wiccanism, you know?
Yeah.
And that is astonishing to me. And so it, like, I just immediately felt like a yes. Like, because I in my, like, personal studies, I like to study as much about any religion that I can possibly, just because, I don't know, like, there are so many and they're so weird, like, and Hinduism has been I say weird, but I mean, like,
just varied and intricate.
Varied and intricate. Yes, that's a better word for weird. And like, Hinduism has been the one that I've been into the most recently, and like Hinduism, I feel like, okay, so I feel like from what I have read about the Yoruba religion, it feels like it is what has inspired everything else, like, and that might be dumb, like, that might be me just being dumb and seeing what I want to be seeing, but, like, I don't know, like, it's so beautiful to imagine, like, because Beyonce did the video as the sun goddess, and I was just, like, that is, like, me imagining, like, our spiritual, like, whatever that is, like, granting us existence in life, being that, you know, like, is the, like, ugh, I'm gonna start crying. Sorry, no, this is weird. It's, like, it gives me the most joy that I've ever experienced, like, ever thinking about any God at all, like, because, like, I'm an agnostic, and so, like, I don't, they're, like, I read about all of them so that I can, like, know anything about anything, like, because I don't know what to believe, because, like, we can't see any of it, but, like, if I'm going to be told that there is a God, I really hope it's that, like.
Yeah. Like, I hope Beyonce's God, too.
Right? Like. Because that's, like, ugh, like, it's so shiny and wonderful and amazing, like, and, ugh, I don't know.
So it's, like, 10:15.
Yeah, do you want to leave my house now? I should
probably go.
Okay, cool. I'm sorry, I've just, like, kept you at my house eating. Oh, God, I hope that recorded it all. Yes, okay, it did. And that's it. So I thank you for listening to whatever this is. I love you. Hope you have a wonderful evening or afternoon or middle of a Tuesday. I don't know your life. You know your life, though, and you know your choices. And I'm glad that you chose to spend some time listening to this wonderful conversation that I had with a very good friend of mine, Cameron Brewer. You should check him out on the internet. He's a pretty cool dude. He does comedy. He's a poet. And he is generally amazing. So, yeah, check that guy out. I'm sure he's doing some cool stuff right now. So, yeah. I love you. I don't know if you've been told that today, but just know, listener, I love you. I'm going to say it about 5 more times. I love you. 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 All right. Have a great day.